Sometimes I thought I should just be able to figure this out or get it together, and I'd end up shaming myself for seeming to fail.
Wow.
You know, for most of us, the emotional minefield of guilt is very real. And for me, it often seemed like getting out of that was impossible because I felt really stuck.
Welcome to the Blended Family Breakthrough Podcast. We're your hosts, Mike and Kim.
We believe in a world where blended families can experience a future full of hope, connection, and peace.
That's why we offer tools, strategies, and guidance that move you from a place of confusion and conflict to experiencing a life of confidence and connection.
We're so glad you're joining us for authentic and sometimes comical conversations as we cover everything from romance to parenting. And yes, even dealing with that difficult ex.
So if you're ready to experience breakthrough in your blended family, you're in the right place. Let's dive in. Well, hi there. Welcome back. We are super grateful to have you join us. Hey, have you connected with us over on social yet? If not, head over to Facebook or Instagram and search for Blended Family Breakthrough. Or just scroll down to the show notes and click the link. Make sure you follow us for some helpful tips and reminders, as well as keeping up on all the different opportunities that we have for you. And while you're at it, share us with your friends. Mm-hmm. You know, chances are you've got someone in your life that needs support for their blended family as well.
That's right. And maybe some of those friends are experiencing challenges, or like we talked about last week, they're feeling some fear or ambiguity around blending, which might leave them feeling really stuck.
Yeah.
You could simply share last week's episode with them. And today we're focusing on an equally challenging emotion, guilt.
Mm.
Guilt can also leave couples paralyzed. Even couples who genuinely are deeply in love with each other, they're devoted and they have big dreams of merging their families and building a home together forever, they just can't see a way through the challenges they're up against.
Hmm.
Sometimes the guilt they experience is associated with their kids, or maybe it's old stuff that gets stirred up by an ex-spouse. It could be around visitation schedules or logistics, but regardless of the dynamics and everything they're dealing with, at the core of it all is guilt.
Right.
And unfortunately, guilt and fear can join forces to create a painful mix of confusing and debilitating emotions that tend to keep couples stuck, unable to move forward with blending.
Mm. Over the years, couples have shared with us so many things about their struggles with guilt.
Mm.
They often sound something like, "My kids are really worried about blending. They don't know where they stand with my partner and don't think they'll fit in with her kids."
Mm-hmm. Or something like, "It'll be too much change. And I'm concerned what will happen if I just uproot my kids after everything they've already been through."
Right. Or maybe it sounds something like, "It just feels like I'm putting my happiness above the kids. They didn't ask for any of this."
Mm-hmm. What about this one? "My daughter doesn't understand why we even need to get married and move in together. She likes my partner, but doesn't want him to come in and mess up what we've got going."
That's right. Absolutely. Honey, way back in episode 99, we focused on moving beyond painful guilt and regret. And you made this specific statement: guilt is a strong emotion,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, guilt can hijack our hearts. It can crush our confidence and impact so many aspects of family life, especially within blended family dynamics.
Right.
Sometimes guilt feels like we're in this deep, dark pit. We can get sucked into it. And when we spend too much time in that pit, guilt can be paralyzing. Too much time in the pit will gradually drain the life out of us and keep us from truly embracing our current reality and just enjoying life.
Yeah, I remember saying that. And I spent years struggling in that deep, dark pit of guilt. And it was debilitating at times because of the emotional minefield around me that continually triggered feelings of guilt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Talking about a minefield. What did that minefield look like for you?
Well, things like when my ex would rehash old offenses or criticize my parenting decisions, blaming me for all the problems, past, present, and future. That would stir up guilt.
Yeah.
Or whenever I'd compare my situation to friends and family, sometimes I'd experience feelings of inadequacy and wonder how things went so wrong and what I should have and could have done differently. Sometimes I'd experience guilt when my daughter was expressing painful emotions and struggled with ongoing loss and grief due to the divorce, or when she'd complain about having to move between two homes. And of course, then there were those times, honey, when we struggled as a couple or as a family with all of these blended dynamics. I'd feel guilt around all the things I just couldn't seem to get right, and blamed myself a lot of times for the stress we were experiencing as a family. Sometimes I thought I should just be able to figure this out or get it together, and I'd end up shaming myself for seeming to fail.
Wow.
You know, for most of us, the emotional minefield of guilt is very real. And for me, it often seemed like getting out of that was impossible because I felt really stuck.
Yeah. And we hear things like you just described from many of the couples that we coach.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to set off a painful reaction of guilt and self-shame, right? But honey, you've learned some ways to navigate through your minefield of guilt and break free. So what might you be able to share with those who could be feeling stuck right now?
Right. You know, of course, working with a counselor to process the pain of the past and experience healing, that really helped me to kind of let go of a lot of this guilt, unload it. And then mindfully focusing on the truth in those difficult moments, learning how to regulate my emotions, that's been a game changer for me. But in preparation for that episode we did a while back on guilt, I actually dove in and I did quite a bit of research, and I discovered a few things that were really interesting. One thing was understanding the difference between guilt and regret.
What was it that stuck out to you? Like, what's the distinction there?
Well, basically that there's such a thing as healthy guilt, which can be a good thing. Healthy guilt is a manifestation of our conscience letting us know when we're getting off track. For example, we talk a lot on the show about healthy co-parenting practices that protect the well-being of the kids.
Right.
So let's say, for instance, if someone happened to be listening in to one of our co-parenting episodes and they've realized they've been doing something negative, maybe putting their kids in the middle, and they experience a ping of guilt around their recent behavior, that's a natural and healthy manifestation of their conscience, letting them know it's time to examine what they're doing and consider a change.
Okay, that makes sense. So that would be a healthy manifestation of guilt. It helps us detect right from wrong, and it's kind of focused on our current behavior.
Right.
So we feel guilty about asking our child to communicate with our ex about a scheduling change, or maybe we voiced some unfair criticism to our current partner about how they handled a different interaction with their child. And then later we start to realize that our actions or reactions weren't all that helpful and it caused harm to others. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Healthy guilt guides our internal conscience towards recognition of our own missteps so that we can offer an authentic apology to those we've hurt and reconcile our relationships. And this is absolutely needed in blended family dynamics, right? Repair work will be ongoing because none of us are going to perfectly manage our emotions when the tension hits. We all have missteps. And when we make those unintentional missteps, it's our healthy guilt that leads to positive things like reconciliation and our own behavioral changes.
Okay. All right. So that's healthy guilt. So that must mean there must be some unhealthy guilt. What's that?
Yes. Unhealthy, debilitating guilt happens when we've already done the necessary repair work and we've made efforts to change our behavior, but we're unable to release our guilt and we continually just beat ourselves up. There's a sense of insecurity that keeps us trapped in that guilt. And that brings us back to the difference between guilt and regret. Healthy guilt is an awareness of, oh, I'm off track here and I need to change something or do some repair work here. Regret is all about looking backwards to those times in the past that we made a poor decision or we kind of messed up. Maybe we hurt someone by saying or doing something we wish we could have taken back, we could do differently.
Yeah. Okay. And then this distinction between like the healthy guilt and regret versus unhealthy guilt, like what was that distinction that really struck you?
Well, I realized in my insecurity that I was continually beating myself up for my regrets and missteps of the past. And my big aha moment was this realization that I can't go back in time and change what I did or undo the pain that I caused others. The past stays unchanged.
Right.
And if I've already done my part to make amends and change course, then it's really unproductive and exhausting and kind of pointless for me to continually judge myself with this verdict of guilty. And when I do that, I'm actually choosing to debilitate myself as I ruminate on the past regrets through a lens of unhealthy guilt.
Yeah.
Because the fact is, I'm powerless to change the past, but I can change my lens from guilt to growth.
I like that. Say a little bit more about that.
Okay. So when I'm able to view the past, those regrets from the past, as a learning experience, I can grow from my missteps and release myself from unhealthy guilt. So I've learned a lot from the past, including how to steer clear of unhealthy patterns so I don't have to repeat my past regrets. I can now look back and say to myself that, sure, I wish I'd known then what I know now. And yeah, I wish that I had the capacity back then to do things differently, but I simply didn't know, and I was doing my best to handle some difficult circumstances that I really wasn't prepared to handle. Now, instead of being debilitated by unhealthy guilt, I feel secure and empowered by my regrets of the past because of the growth that I've made since then. I'm able to approach things from a healthier perspective now. That's the truth.
So regrets of the past don't have to become a minefield of debilitating guilt and insecurity.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't mean that I won't still mess up sometimes, experience healthy guilt, and need to make a course correction. That is a lifelong journey for every human being. But what it does mean is that I can move forward from a place of security. I can let go of unhealthy guilt and learn from my past regrets.
Yeah, I really love that. I've actually watched you go through that journey quite a bit over the last 23 years. I'm really proud of you, actually. But I love that, moving from guilt to growth. That's what I just heard. It's really good. And I'm thankful that you've come to this kind of realization, because unhealthy guilt really does impact every aspect of life. And hon, you're a much lighter, happier, and functional person now because of the work that you've done to break free from that debilitating guilt. You've really lightened.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah, thank you.
I agree.
Now, you mentioned a minute ago that in your research on guilt, you discovered several enlightening things. What else might be enlightening that you might want to share?
Before I did the research, I had never heard of the term false guilt. And as I learned more, I realized that I had been experiencing false guilt for years.
Okay, so false guilt is a real thing. Can you kind of give us a description and maybe an example of how this has played out in your life?
Sure. I found an interesting article from author and speaker Paul Coughlin about the origins of false guilt. And here's how he describes it. False guilt has nothing to do with what's true and accurate. Rather, it's usually the fear of disapproval in disguise. Paul uses a great analogy. He says, if false guilt were a chariot, then fear of disapproval from others is the whip upon the back of the horses pulling it. He goes on to share a helpful acronym for this kind of fear, which is false evidence appearing real.
F-E-A-R, fear.
Right. Mm. Fear often has us imagining the worst possible outcomes, when in reality, the outcome is rarely as bad as the fear tells us it's going to be.
Mm.
He states that fear is often a liar.
Wow. Yeah, that is really interesting, actually. Yeah. And notice how guilt and fear can be so closely related.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That reminds me of the story that we shared last week about the mom who was experiencing some fear and guilt around having to move her daughter to a new school, and how the worst possible outcome she'd ever imagined happening never actually came close to happening.
Right.
In fact, the move turned out to be a really positive experience for her daughter, and really the whole family.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So let's explore a few examples of false guilt. And here's one I think you might be able to relate to, honey. When your daughter Annika shows up for visitation wearing some like expensive new designer clothes that her dad and stepmom bought, what do you think or feel?
Ooh, yeah, that's a real life example there. What am I feeling? I'm feeling and experiencing guilt because I buy gently worn clothes at consignment stores to save money for our kids.
Yeah.
And then I start to project that my ex and his wife are now judging the items that I purchase for Annika and the stuff that she shuttles back and forth. They might even toss out the things that I buy because they're embarrassed for Annika to be seen in them.
Hmm.
I feel like what I provide is inadequate now, and I fear that Annika is going to favor her dad and stepmom over me. She might start to think they have more value and worth.
Hmm.
Ugh.
So you just got hit with a whole lot of guilt based on some circumstances that are actually outside of your control.
Exactly.
Right? Something that's happened in the other home. And then you're jumping to some negative beliefs about yourself, even though you haven't done anything wrong.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with saving money by shopping consignment.
Right.
Kids outgrow their clothes so fast. And it's actually something I feel good about until the chariot of false guilt swoops me up, and my fear of disapproval from others is whipping those horses and pulling me around in circles of false guilt.
Hmm.
I feel powerless over the false evidence that's appearing real in my head when that emotionally charged, tense moment hits.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, false guilt is not the manifestation of our conscience that makes us aware of a personal misstep.
Right.
False guilt is a manifestation of fear of what others will think and do. So it's kind of disapproval in disguise.
Yes.
And it can lead to some catastrophizing around things that we project might happen, right? False guilt is based on kind of internal lies or half-truths, not what's actually true and accurate.
Right.
So before we explore what to do when false guilt hits, let me throw out another possible scenario that might be a little more complex, one that we've heard before, and that might really cause one partner or the other to kind of get stuck.
Right.
So you pick up your kids for visitation and they promptly announce that your new partner, we'll call him Mike.
Okay.
We'll call him Mike, is not in charge of them. Mm. Mike's not in charge of us.
Yeah.
Of course, it's clear that their dad has intentionally pointed this out to them.
Mm.
So a little later on, when Mike respectfully asks one of your kids to move their bike out of the driveway so that we can get the car pulled into the garage, your child responds with, "You're not my dad. You can't tell me what to do."
Mm,
what do you say to that?
Well, my first emotional reaction would be to feel really bad that my kids have divorced parents and that they have to move between two homes. And this is the painful fallout of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also feel sad that they've been put in this position of having to align with the misguided opinions of my former spouse.
Mm-hmm.
I'd feel guilty for not being able to protect my kids from all of this tension, that I've failed them.
Mm-hmm.
I might also fear the disapproval of my ex and start to catastrophize around what else he might be up to, right? Mm. Is he going to sabotage my relationship by turning the kids against us? Or maybe he'll make a push to reduce my visitation time. Am I now being pegged as the selfish villain for bringing Mike into the picture? I might also feel guilty that Mike was treated poorly by my child, and now I'm worried about what he might think about my kids and about me as a parent who doesn't seem to have much control over their kids and hasn't taught them to be respectful.
So again, you're navigating through a whole lot of guilt and fear based on some circumstances outside of your control, something that's happened in the other home, and you've jumped to some negative beliefs about yourself, even though you haven't really done anything wrong.
Exactly. There is nothing wrong with me moving on with a new partner. I'm actually excited for my kids to have a positive role model, and I feel good about where my relationship is headed until the chariot of false guilt swoops me up and my fear of disapproval from others is now whipping those horses and pulling me around in circles.
Yeah. In this scenario, there is some evidence that your kid's attitude toward Mike has been influenced. Okay. Some evidence. And that's having an impact on the dynamics in your home. That's a fact that you can't easily ignore.
Right.
So how would you manage yourself? Because yes, you're experiencing some false guilt because you haven't really done anything wrong. But I'd imagine that acronym of fear that Coughlin shared gets a little bit tricky here. You can't say it's total false evidence appearing real. You've got some kind of real evidence that's causing you to have some real concerns.
I agree. And we can't just overlook real evidence or ignore some valid concerns that may come up.
Right.
But instead of getting stuck and allowing a situation like this to spiral into a fear-based guilt fest, we can choose to be empowered through authenticity, through the truth, and to help. I've come up with another acronym that we can use with the word FREE.
Let's get started. Let's talk about what does F in FREE stand for, honey?
F stands for face your false guilt.
Face your false guilt.
Right away, we want to get real and identify the false guilt we're experiencing so that we can choose to release it.
Okay, so it's a choice. I'm going to face it.
Yep.
Right? And you've already called out that you've done nothing wrong here, but how might you release the false guilt that you're experiencing?
Well, in this particular example, if I'm suddenly gripped with negative thoughts about the divorce and all the fallout that my kids have experienced, I can simply stop and acknowledge the pieces of our journey that are true. Yes, this has been tough on my kids, and it's hard sometimes moving between two homes. It's also unfortunate that my former spouse doesn't seem to be making things any easier.
Okay, so you actually agree with the reality of your situation. Then what?
Then I remember that, you know, I'm doing my best in challenging circumstances, and I choose to shift my focus to the positive pieces of our journey. So for me personally, there were many good, valid reasons why ending my previous marriage was the best decision I could have made. And not just for me, but for my daughter as well. Now we get to experience so much peace and we enjoy a healthier lifestyle. I also reflect on the positive character traits my daughter has learned as she's been navigating these challenging dynamics, such as flexibility. And I think about other positive truths, such as, what a wonderful addition and blessing you've been, honey, in her life.
In some seasons, I'll take that. Yeah. All right. So in facing false guilt, first, we're agreeing with the reality of the situation, which in an emotionally charged moment can feel pretty overwhelming. But you're choosing to be authentic with your reality.
Right.
And then you quickly counter that with the powerful truths that reflect a bigger perspective and focus on the more positive things and what you're actually grateful for. Again, being authentic with the entirety of your experience.
Yes. Learning to do this kind of inner dialogue has changed my life.
Yeah.
I also choose to stop and catch myself in those emotionally charged moments just long enough to ask myself, is this healthy guilt based on my own actions and what my conscience is telling me? Or is this false guilt based on the actions of others and fear of disapproval? The truth is, I have done a lot of work to move beyond my guilt from the past.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely no reason to rehash it all and emotionally plummet now just because my ex has decided to throw a wrench into the mix. I don't have to allow his dysfunction to become my dysfunction.
Right.
Instead, I can choose to authentically center myself on the truth and release any false guilt I might be experiencing. I haven't done anything wrong, and so there's no need for me to harbor false guilt.
Absolutely. So the F in FREE stands for face your false guilt. Mm-hmm. Tell us what the R is.
The R stands for respond appropriately.
Oh, so you mean like, listen up, kids. Your dad doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. You tell him to butt out of our business.
No.
What? What's wrong with that?
That's a good example of responding inappropriately.
Okay. Yeah. Right. And I've done that kind of thing once in a while.
And There can be a strong temptation to go into panic mode or lash out at the kids and the ex when things like this happen. Mm. But of course, that'll just make things worse for everyone. Mm-hmm. Instead, you want to decide how you're going to respond appropriately.
Okay, so Mike's got the inappropriate response down pat, but what would the appropriate response sound like? Hey, we'll get back to the show in just a moment. But first, we have a question for you.
What if you could create clarity, confidence, and genuine connection in your blended family? And you didn't have to do that alone.
Yeah. Imagine what it might be like to feel excited about your future and have the insights you need to influence positive growth in your family. Mm-hmm. You might get to experience transformation like our friends Chris and Nicole. Listen to what they have to say.
Our baseline went from just trying to survive certain weekends to, okay, we've actually grown to the point where we're seeing admittable changes in the kids and in the structure and in awesome. Understanding what we need.
Everyone's family setup is different, and yet at the core, a lot of us are feeling the same things.
Yeah.
And so I almost felt like it was my fault and I was a bad person, and why was I this awful human being for feeling this way? And just being able to validate that some of that's normal, to acknowledge that it's okay, but also to be able to work past it, I think has been leaps and bounds of where we were when we first started.
If you want to accelerate your growth as a family, just like Chris and Nicole have, be sure you're listening in over the next couple of weeks as we reveal how you can join us along with a small but mighty group of other blended family couples who are building more hope and peace in their homes.
That's right. Be listening, watching your email, and following us on social. We can't wait for you to join us.
Okay, let's get back to the episode. Well, after allowing myself some time to emotionally regulate, I'd circle back around and calmly say something like this to my kids. Hey, I've noticed a shift in your attitude towards Mike, and I was hoping we could talk about what happened earlier. You're right that Mike is not your dad. Your dad will always be your dad, and that doesn't change just because I'm with Mike now. You're also right that Mike's not in charge of you. During your time here, I'm the one who's in charge. And as your mom, I do expect you to treat Mike the same way you treat any other adult in your life, like teachers, to be respectful and kind. Then I'd pause before asking how they feel and if there's anything they'd like to share with me.
Okay, so I imagine in that conversation, you'd probably do a little active listening, give them some affirmation and emotionally coach them through whatever comes up in the conversation. Does that sound about right?
Absolutely. I'd also express love, empathy, and care if they share any complaints or tough emotions they're experiencing, even if it's around the decisions I've made to bring someone new into our lives. Hmm. I can certainly empathize with their struggle, something like, I understand how hard this has been for you, without getting sucked back into false guilt.
Right. Okay. So we've faced our false guilt. We've responded appropriately. What's the first E in FREE stand for?
That stands for examine your fear.
Hmm.
In order to stop yourself from catastrophizing and spiraling into a fear-based guilt fest, you've got to authentically examine your fears. Here's a good question to ask yourself. Does the actual evidence confirm or challenge my fear?
Mm. So if you've got a fear or a concern that your ex is turning your kids against you and your partner, how would you answer that question?
Well, this is where I need to mindfully separate the actual facts of what happened from any catastrophizing or projecting I've been doing in my head. If I choose to focus on just the facts without adding motive and meaning to them, it really helps to simplify the issue and manage the fear in a more productive way.
Mm.
What I don't want to do is panic and jump to unfounded assumptions.
Okay, so the facts around what your kids said and did and how your ex possibly instigated that behavior is now kind of compartmentalized from those assumptions that you'd made. And those assumptions, those that meaning and motive that you added sounded like, well, my ex is trying to sabotage my relationship by turning the kids against me and they're pegging me as a selfish villain, or they're going to be making a push for reducing my visitation time, right? All of that was the catastrophizing assumption.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes. Okay. I'm choosing to stay focused only on the facts and I'm going to let the rest go.
Okay.
It's also helpful to draw from other evidence, okay? Maybe during our last visitation time with the kids, they were fully engaged with Mike and treated Mike with a lot of respect.
Mm.
And for the most part, that's been the pattern.
Right.
But maybe there's some other evidence that isn't so positive, and I'll need to take that into consideration without catastrophizing and respond appropriately to what's actually going on.
All right. I can see how this would help to start to dissipate some fear. We're not going to go into panic mode and start allowing the fear to escalate. Rather, we're going to try to contain it and respond in a way that's productive and more empowering, actually.
Yep.
Okay. So we're facing false guilt. That's the F. We're responding appropriately. That's the R.
Mm-hmm.
We're examining our fear. That's the first E. What's the final E in FREE, honey?
Express your emotions and concerns to your partner and invite them to do the same.
Mm.
All too often, these uncomfortable situations hit and we just aren't sure how to best approach them. So we try to distract ourselves and just move on. Doing things like that will just stall out your healthy growth as a couple because you're not talking through the reality of your challenges.
Mm.
And that will usually lead to setbacks in your relationship. If you choose to just ignore or hold it all in and avoid communicating about whatever has happened, you'll most likely get stuck in some negative thought patterns about yourself, each other, and about moving forward with blending.
Yeah, that's right. Honey, if your child has been disrespectful toward me and they're pushing back, I'm going to start to wonder what I'm doing wrong and question if this kid will ever accept me.
Right.
I might also question your parenting approach and feel unsure about blending if you tend to handle or not handle things the way that I think you should.
Right.
Over time, those seeds of doubt grow when we're not able to talk about hard stuff and authentically work through issues together.
Exactly.
Eventually, I might conclude that blending isn't a very good idea, even though I actually love you.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see how in the world we're going to find our way through the difficulties.
Yep. And the same will happen to me. I might be harboring fear that you won't be able to understand me or my kids or have empathy for our situation. But if I'm unable to express my guilt, fear or concerns with you and be vulnerable, I'll have my own seeds of doubt that'll grow and cause me to resist blending.
Yeah.
We got to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're listening to all this and you're starting to realize that authenticity and open communication has been really challenging in your relationship, we've got a few past episodes that might help you to talk about some sensitive issues, to grow some empathy with each other, and be more vulnerable with each other as well. Yeah. So we'll put some links in the show notes for you to check those out. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you're struggling with fear or guilt, we want you to remember this acronym Kim just shared. It's mm-hmm. it's a model, really, and it's called FREE. Mm-hmm. And you might want to write that down. Mm-hmm. F is face false guilt. R, respond appropriately. E, explore your fears. And the final E, express your emotions and concerns to each other.
Yeah. You know, the truth is guilt is a powerful emotion. Sometimes it's healthy. Sometimes it's debilitating. Mm. You don't have to ride around in the chariot of false, unhealthy guilt, imagining the worst possible outcomes based on false evidence or fear of what others might think. Instead, you can stay focused on reality, embrace growth from your regrets, and utilize the FREE model to break free from guilt and move forward with authenticity and security.
Yeah. And you know what? What we're talking about today, we're calling you to some hard work. We recognize how hard the work is. And honestly, we haven't done this work alone. We've had help from coaches and from counselors and mentors along the way.
Absolutely.
And so if you're feeling a little bit of fear and trepidation of just doing that work right now, we encourage you to reach out and schedule a free coaching call with us. We've found some tools and a way to deliver those tools that can really help you to engage this FREE model in a very practical way. Yeah. And so if that interests you, we encourage you also to click the link in the show notes. We would love to connect with you for a free coaching call. And we're going to give you a few tips next week as well in our simple steps. So make sure you tune in, make sure you're subscribed to the show, make sure you join on social media.
Yeah. If you're feeling stuck and bogged down by fear and guilt and ambiguity, be sure to tune into our simple step episode, our bonus content next week, because we're going to share some ways for you to get unstuck and move forward together.
That's right. But for now, we're going to make this episode a wrap.
Until next time.